Welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each episode, we will be speaking with everyday parents and practitioners as they share with us gems from their parenthood journey. Keep tuning in to learn with us as we figure it out together.
Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is Delia, your host for this episode. We are diving into a topic that is top of mind for many working mothers. Today's women face rising expectations to have a great career while raising a family. Considering the pressures in the marketplace, many wonder if it's truly possible to balance these two things well. Joining us today is Jamie Lim, CEO of Scantix Singapore and a mother of three children. She'll be sharing more about her journey as a wife, mum and business leader. Welcome to our Parentnet podcast, Jamie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'd like for you to share with us more about your family, the age of your children, so we know more about your station in life.
I am happily married with three young children and one fur kid. So my oldest, she is turning 13. My middle boy, he is 10. And my youngest is a girl. She's 8. And my dog, his name is Timber. He's 5.
Wow, sounds like a whole ball of fun over there, right? And I can relate to you because I have a daughter who is 8 years old as well. And could you share with us a word or a phrase that you would use to encapsulate your journey as a wife, mother, and business leader?
I think I am constantly juggling. So that's the word I would say in my process as a mother on a daily basis. But the type of mother I hope to be for my children will be inspiring.
I mean, just picturing it, like for your children to see you, you know, putting in your best every day amongst all the different demands that might pull at various directions. So tell us more about what a typical day might look like for you, managing all the different responsibilities that you have.
To be very honest, I am extremely blessed with very, very good help. So my day would be when I wake up, my helper of 13 years, because my daughter is 13 years old, has already settled the kids to school. My husband is also very sweet because his strength is that he can wake up and sleep at the sound of a fingertip. You know, he can wake up and sleep like that. And so he has taken over the job of fetching the children to the bus stop and to school because he realized that I cannot wake up on time. But I take the night shift. So morning, I wake up, I exercise, I have my breakfast, and I head to work. I check my schedule, my calendar, and I want to make sure that I'm not missing any part where I have to pick the kids up or not. And once that's out of the way, life goes on. I come back pretty much after work as a working mother. Again, I'm very, very, very grateful that my in-laws will help look after the kids' studies. My helper, who again of 13 years, which I eventually found out, she was actually a valedictorian in the Philippines. So she helped them with all the spelling and math homework. So when I come home, I just have dinner with them, play with them, tuck them to bed, pray for them, and then they go to sleep and I finish my emails. So that's a typical day for me.
Wow, so it does sound like a adage that says it takes a village to raise a child. You do have a village, you know, coming around your entire family to raise the three children that you're very blessed with. What are some of the things that you have chosen to safeguard, like, you know, in terms of whether it's certain kind of boundaries or measures that you have put around your life to safeguard this precious or significant time that you do have with your children, that window of time that you have?
I think earlier on in life, I wasn't a lady that comes off that says, I want children. Let's be very clear. I wanted a zoo more than I wanted a den full of children. I had to really think of how I have to juggle both. So I came up with some frameworks from talking to other women I respect, who I'm inspired by, as well as my husband. So there are a few routines I kept. One, I would make sure I have a date night with my children at least once a month. During that date night, because I don't have time, I have to emphasize on quality versus quantity time and define for myself what that means. So I am unable to nag at my children every time they make a mistake because that would make me a giant nag. So I will consolidate all the things that I hope I can teach my children. For example, you know, be respectful to elders, give way to your siblings, things like that. Or don't speak vulgarities, you know, as they grow older. And then I'll consolidate them into three learning points for my date night. So it has to be a sandwich effect that I learned through work. It has to start with their favorite meal. When it was younger, it's cheaper because, you know, it's always McDonald's. Now got buffet, and as they grow older, they like steak. And then during the conversation, then we would talk about all the things that I hope that they could learn. Sometimes we would even ink it down to say, hey, you did this that time. This is why you should do a better job. And then they would even sign on it. They started signing as young as 4 years old. And then I would just break it down into three very bite-sized. For example, respect. Finish homework, things like that. Just very simple bite-sized. Then when they're done, we go shopping. We buy something that they like. Normally, Daiso would suffice. And we also make sure that they buy something for their siblings who are not there. So to feel that, you know, they're thinking of them. And then the night wraps with all smiles. And I'll ask them, what are the three things we talked about today? Can you remember? Usually, you have to break it down to three words, as simple as that. And so that was my routine for a date night, one-on-one. And that's the time I also try to listen actively to what they're trying to say or not trying to say. The last thing I really do that I care about is I pray for them every night. It's just I'm a Christian, so it's a short prayer. It's the same prayer when they were in my womb until today. The only deviation could be pray for your exams and then pray for good health and things like that. So this connects us, even though I'm far apart overseas. That's just one WhatsApp call away, 30 seconds, and they feel loved and they feel appreciated, and we connect. So these are two of the things that I have done to safeguard the quality of time I have spent with them.
Oh, that's so precious. Whatever you have just shared takes me back to a recent outing that I had with my daughter. It's very interesting because I spent one-on-one time with her, and then it was simple, just that window of time. I told her, you know, over the meal that I would be intentional not to check my device at all. I'm committed to actually give her like my eye contact, and that we would actually be able to, you know, talk about anything that comes to her mind. And then later on, I hope that towards the end of the day, she could finish one piece of revision, right? And then we just left it as that. We went about the rest of the day and left her on her own. And what surprised me was she actually remembered her commitment to do that piece of revision without any reminders. And that was quite unlike her. I affirmed her, and I realized it was really because she had her love tank filled, in a sense. Like, she actually knew that. I think as mom, sometimes it's like feeling that we need to keep drilling in certain things that we expect to see or think that is good for the child. But actually, the child just needs to know that we care. And that the attention was given to them, not by what they can produce or what they can do, but because we have shown them that we are here to listen. We are here to actually be interested, even in the things that they want to tell us. I must confess, right, sometimes it is easy for my mind to like drift away into the next thing that I need to do after this outing.
Me too.
Right. And I had to exercise so much intentionality and self-control not to go into that zone, because that takes my mind away from this conversation that I've committed to have with her. And that was my own debrief for myself, actually. Among all the many things that I thought I would teach my child, right? Actually, my child was also teaching me through this incident that I'm also learning, you know, what it means to actually show that this connection that we share as mother and child is important, not just for her, but for me as well.
Yeah. Oh, that is really, really precious.
Yeah.
May I add, I think one thing I just learned from you as well as being present is, I hope, and this is, you know, as CEOs, we think far, right? That when there are tough times ahead, teenagers, BGR, stresses, they realize that there is this window of a date night, of a process they can lean in on. So it's a structure like, okay, you know, I need to learn something, or I need to tell mom something. And a date night would be that structure. And I think that being present, I think that is something very good and very intentional. I also need to learn that from you.
Yeah, thank you. Even as I was preparing for this like conversation with you, right, it was also in reflecting, you know, about how many moms, they have this, it's really like the ebb and flow of life, transitions about our children's growing needs through the different seasons of their lives. There's also ebb and flow at the workplace, the changing dynamics in the work environment, even the external forces that might actually cause us to also hunker down, you know, and then evaluate all the things that needs to be done. So there are like all these headwinds, right, that we constantly have to, in a sense, sail through. Share with us, you know, have there been like seasons or moments where you felt that, wow, there was so much like coming on at you, whether what kind of emotions that resulted in it? Was it a sense of being overwhelmed or depleted or anything?
So there were many, many seasons in my life where I think guilt was very key, because being an entrepreneur, things are never always good enough until you're the best. And I just could not achieve that with my children. You know, the play dates. I would never know when there's an exam. You know, people can boast about the most comfortable diapers, and I would really not quite know. I couldn't wrap it properly then. And then there's the demands at work. And, you know, like, hey, let's have a play date. And I was like, I'm overseas. I can't make it. You know, meet the parent session, and I'm just like late. So I remember asking myself, what do I really want for my children? What is my purpose? For work, it's very simple. Once you hit that bottom line, that X percent of net profit margin, ka-ching, you've done it. That what is that for me at home with my children? And I need to discuss that with my husband. And we both can agree, then I can at least know if both are calling at me at the same time, like, hey, you know, is it a play date? Or you need to go for this important board meeting. Then we can all go back to the purpose of what we want for parenting and the need at it. So I think me and my husband really sat down and talked it through of what we really wanted. And then based on that, sometimes, should we skip tuition for her to go to church? For example, a grade's more important, or, you know, going on this family trip. So we'll go there, okay, what do we want for our children? Those values really helped me to prioritize and take the guilt away. And of course, it also helps me align that with my husband. So at some point, he won't feel that I'm completely irresponsible. And we both also balance our strengths and our weakness. Say, okay, you know, sweetheart, I can't survive without sleep. Then my husband is like, I can't survive without food. I was like, okay, if it's hungry, we'll make sure you eat, I can settle the kids. I'm okay hungry, I cannot do sleepy. So if it's about sleep deprivation, you get your sleep, my husband will settle with children. And that's how we try to manage through very tough times, priorities in life. And sometimes we communicate this with our children too. So they will understand why is it we get to go on a great family trip with Akung and Ama, and then we don't need to worry about this test. You know, things like that. We have to explain the importance of grades, the importance of academics, importance of family, and where we prioritize. So with that support, with that direction, I feel less guilty having to justify myself why I'm not that mom that everybody else can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's realistic, right? That we all only have this number of hours and that amount of time each day. And when we make decisions, it comes down to really what matters most for your family. Right. And I'm really heartened to hear that in every decision point, even if it might sound so-called minute to spend time at enrichment or otherwise, comes down to what you and your husband have chosen to be your family upon. And I believe that has also built on effect for your children to see, because decisions are not just made by what other forces are calling us out to do, but your decisions have been made by what you believe is integral to the formative years and the building of their character and identity. Yeah, I think that's really encouraging because it's inadvertent, right? Like the society makes us feel like these, you know, X, Y, Z things are what defines our identity and purpose. Yeah, but I think you have helped us to also really just distill it clearer to see that we need not be swayed by what external forces might be making us feel that we need to respond to. Otherwise, we might find ourselves being just constantly reacting to what calls out for the attention or what seems to be the louder call for it. Were there certain like practical steps that you have taken, you know, whenever you faced those moments with your children? Were there times where your children themselves were, you know, voicing out any sense of like, I need you, or where have you been? Okay.
So there was once I forgot my daughter. She had gym. I was at a networking event with my husband. I totally forgot her until I had a few missed calls from a strange number. I eventually picked it up and it was someone saying, are you so-and-so's mommy? I said, yes. And the person was like, I'm with your daughter at Turf Club. It's 10 p.m. and it's very dark. Are you going to come and pick her up? You know, that was when I was like, oh my soul. And I shook my husband. I'm like, and so we rushed down, picked her up. I was apologizing profusely. My husband was self-blaming, saying, you know what, we're terrible, we shouldn't have. And then I remember my daughter, who was 10 years old then, was like, can you stop it? I don't blame you. Yes, it was scary, but auntie was there for me. And then I said, why aren't you blaming us? This is so wrong. If anything could have happened to you. And she said, look, if you're not working, you won't be able to give me the enrichment in gymnastics. You can't pay for my tuition. And then I will not be able to get the grades I need if I want them. So, no, you guys were doing your job and you just forgot. It's okay. Just don't do it again. I said, okay. But it happened another time. And then this was when I was like, this is bad. This is really bad. So I went to her, I said, seriously, do you want me to slow down? Because you are my priority and you know that. She said something to me that inspired me as a mom. She said, "Mom," she said, "I'm smarter than you." I said, "Sure, next time, maybe not now." And she says, "But I need you to be the best you can be. I want to know that in all my studies, in all that I want to do, I can achieve more. You can be a CEO, you can make an impact in the community, and still be a mother to your children. I need to do more than that, than just hang out at home." So I looked at her, I said, "Are you sure?" And she says, "Absolutely. Please take that chairman position they offered you. Please go fly and do that and make the business much bigger, okay? And I will take care of things at home." I mean, she was 10, so I laughed really hard, but I saw her heart. And today she's 13. And, you know, I realized that she is really trying to walk her talk. And she was looking more for a leader to be inspired than another person to nag at her every day. So that gave me some cues that I might not be in the wrong direction.
I think it's interesting what you shared. All children are uniquely wired, yes, right? And she is definitely a very special one in the way that she thinks, a tender age of 10 years old. It could be because, you know, she's brought up in an environment where she sees these leadership traits, you know, being demonstrated, not just by you, but even the other family members who are also leading, you know, the business or different forms of work. Yeah, and I think that has also brought her to actually set her sights higher to be able to contribute in a greater measure beyond personal gains, lah. And I think that's really encouraging for her, you know, and really excited to hear how she will blossom, you know, as a young lady in her years ahead. So now that you have talked about this aspect, right, about leading organizations, I wanted to shift this conversation slightly because you are in a position where you can also influence and encourage other women at the workplace. I have myself, you know, seen many of my colleagues in the past year become first-time moms. You know, there's about four of them who became first-time moms in our team. And this is something I would like to hear from you. You know, what is something that we can do to create an environment that helps working moms or even aspiring mothers to thrive in a workplace so that they feel supported?
This is a very tough question, but I can take a stab at it. So we've done a few things. Of course, personally, I feel like we are in an age of the digital era. There can be flexi hours, not in so much work from home, to be honest, but more like you really need to settle things, come in early, then you can leave early to pick up your kids from daycare. We are okay if you, as long as you get the job done, come in on time if you need to, finish up, go and settle your kids and come back. We've also allowed for people to work. Let's say I have some staff who was in Philippines, so we adopted AI so that they can stay home and look after their children in Philippines, of course at a different compensation package, and still work full time, you know, online to settle our customer service. I also have designers who are now full-time work from home in, let's say, Malaysia. And for those who really still need that mobility to come to work, then we just stagger the hours. Let us know what you need. You need to come in at 8 and leave at 5, 9 and leave at 6. We'll do our best to support and cater to your needs.
I think that's really encouraging because there are parents who may not have the luxury or the benefit of such a wide ecosystem of support. And they do need to juggle these like practical demands, right, on a day-to-day basis. And having these options, flexibility, give them the buffer to make room to, let's say, do this shuttling around or even just being present for important milestones. So I'd like to hear from you, you know, if let's say you meet a young woman who is really just starting out on her career and really planning for a family, what would you say as words of encouragement to her?
I would ask her to imagine herself if she's 80 years old now. What do you see? If you want to see, you will see your grandchildren around you, what do you see? And then start working backwards. When you're 70, how do you make your 80-year-old dream happen? 60, 50, 40, 30, 20. And I ask her, it is true that we cannot have our cake and eat it. We have to prioritize. If it is your goal to be that nurturing mom, to spend a lot of time with your children, then you got to reevaluate career options just because there's a give and take in life, right? But then set your goals with yourself, set your goals with your partner, and then look at them and say, okay, now these are my goals. Academics or not, closeness or not, how much money? And see if you could do it without killing yourself. Not to forget, there's health and marriage and friends. And then once you put it all together, then I would say take one step in that direction and keep assessing if those are your goals. I think it is better to have goals and realize how far you are from it, how close you are away from it, or actually those are not the goals I wanted, than to just go adrift in the sea, hoping that if I spend a lot more time, you know, studying with my children and hanging out with them, we'll be very close by then. My career, I still need to, you know, do that, and I don't have enough sleep, and then everything's breaking apart. Yeah. Once you get your goals right, your purpose right, I think you will know how to make the right decisions and prioritize the right ones. So then you will know, what kind of jobs do I want in this season of my life? And then the next season of my life, and then we can actually chapter them in seasons. So the sky's the limit, you know, on what we want to achieve, and we're all made differently.
Yeah, I think that's what very, very wise words. And it does sound like we all need to be clear which is the direction we are headed to before we take each step ahead in that path. And I think one of the things that I take away, what is our understanding of a good life? If we have the privilege and the joy of living a long life, when we look back on our life and we think through what we have chosen to invest our time and our resources into, does that give us that sense of contentment and satisfaction in the way that we have chosen to live this life that we are given? We have the joy of raising children. Our lives are not just confined to this generation, but the generations that will follow through the lives of our children and the children that they may have as well. So I think that's really keeping a long game in mind, even in the day-to-day decisions that we choose to make. Thank you very much, Jamie, for sharing your experiences with us. It's just such a short snippet of the entire journey you've taken. If there's anything else that you would like to leave with our listeners, what would that be?
Sure, I have one last thing that really helped me was when everybody gave me many advice on what a good mother was. I had to define for myself, what kind of a mother am I? You know, there are many mothers that are out there who are very nurturing, very patient, very academic. And I have to tell myself, maybe I am not as nurturing as other mothers, and that's okay. So I came up with the word, maybe I want to inspire them. You can laugh at me because I can't change their diapers. I can't even burp them right. I don't know when their exams are. But at least that's how I define myself as a mother, as a wife. And then that takes the stress away from the expectations of what everybody thinks a good mom should be. I think we are all made and wired differently, strengths with weaknesses. And if we can embrace that of ourselves and we accept them, and I think just that very act of accepting ourselves and defining ourselves would be a very good role model for your children, for our children, to also accept and define themselves the way we hope they're raised and not the way the world would want them be defined. And I think that role modeling is very important. So that is the last thing that came to my mind.
Wow. You know, as I hear you share, the thought that came to my mind was a confident and secure mom also would contribute to raising secure children, because we are not making decisions out of a sense of fear of anxiety of losing out, but because we are confident and secure of how we are going to be pouring into our children's lives from who we are. And I think that's very inspiring. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you for your time. I learned a lot from you too.
Thank you. For more of our parenting resources, go to www.family.org.sg/subscribe. If this episode resonated with you, hit follow to stay connected and leave us a review or share it with a friend and your community. And that's it for today. So do keep tuning in to Parenting Podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey.